What's Trending?
What's Trending is presented by Baker University, where graduates earn higher salaries and land jobs faster than any other university in Kansas. Apply today at bakeru.edu. The Royals did get a win last night in Seattle, 6-3 over the Mariners. Remember, this is a four-game series. It's currently even at a game apiece. The Royals, six games under 500. They picked up a full game again after the loss the other night, so they're back to 4.5. out of the final wild card spot.
Win the next two, then all of a sudden you're 2.5 out.
That is the optimistic way to look at it. That's why going into the series, I said 3 of 4 for the Mariners, otherwise it's over. I guess technically that is still in play. They got to win the next two nights. Beginning tonight, 8:40 first pitch, Vern's on deck show, 7:30 right here on 96.5 The Fan.
They made it very hard on themselves to accomplish what you were talking about, because losing the first one makes it quite a bit more challenging. As you pointed out, Noah Cameron tonight, and then Seth Lugo on Thursday for the Royals. Next up on What's Trending, the Indiana Fever win the NBA, or the WNBA in-season tournament. They did so without their star player, Caitlin Clark, who's been out with an injury. I did see her taking some shotgun and a beer, though, in the post-game press conference. Oh, yeah, so she was having a good time. They were getting after. Good for them. I've got to say, I understand the attempt to do this because international soccer has done an excellent job of getting their fans to care about these in-season tournaments. It's not clicking for me in the NBA WNBA game. What about you?
Yeah, I mean, the NBA play-in tournament, I don't think is all that intriguing, let alone the
WNBA.
Didn't
the Bucks win that one this year?
Did they?
Yes.
That's the thing. It's like,
I believe so.
It means so much that we all remember who won. I
only remember because somebody said they're breaking up the in-season tournament NBA team because they're making jokes about the Miles Turner, right, Dame Lillard stuff.
I will say, anytime you create something new like this, it takes many years for it not to be what some people might think is a joke or whatever, right? If it ever becomes 15 years from now, if they're still doing it, at that point, we just be used to it, and it is what it is. Initially, it seems gimmicky and things like that because we're not used to that in the United States. The NFL in week 7 is not holding an in-season NFL playoff. I don't even know how you would do it for a weekend. You know what I mean? Like,
impossible.
Yeah, but point being is you just can't
baseball,
do it.
Baseball, though. They've talked about that.
Baseball, you have the inventory. You can do it. That's why it's fine in the NBA and the WNBA and baseball. You got 162 games. Do more specialty type of weekends. That's easy to do. All right. Next up on What's Trending, thinking of the NBA, you guys know the story from a couple days ago. Former Pistons guard Malik Beasley is under investigation for betting, illegal betting, right? Potentially, intentionally not making certain shots or having certain under prop bets in his favor that he could control, all that, right? There's now new information coming out that he has been sued by his own agent, that he owes his barber money, that he owes his dentist.
Facing multiple lawsuits.
Yeah, he owes his agency reportedly $2.5 million. They released a missed advance of $650,000 that they gave him. He never paid the advance back. So this dude, maybe this, who knows, right? Speculation, I have no idea. But why was he involved in this alleged gambling issue? Was he in gambling debt, or did he just owe a bunch of people money and he thought that was his way out of it? I don't know. Either way, he's in a bad position, to say the least.
Certainly more to keep an eye out on. Next up on What's Trending, Gary Woodland, the Topeka native and obviously major champion, named vice captain of the Ryder Cup team up at Bethpage Black. So good news for the semi-ish local product. And obviously he's had if you haven't followed his story here lately, he's had an incredibly trying last couple of years, and certainly because of the brain surgery he had, you would think that this is a really high honor for
Gary for him.
Woodland.
It is. Him and Keegan Bradley is the captain, I believe.
Okay. There you go. Next up on What's Trending, the Diamondbacks have banned a fan from their games for the rest of 2025 after multiple offenses of interference. This is, ironically, the Diamondbacks were the same team that had the player, Ketel Marte, that obviously he was the player that broke down, started crying because a White Sox fan started talking about his mother who had passed away. That fan has been banned from all parks. This is a separate story. It just happens to be the same team. A Diamondbacks fan keeps interfering with home runs, basically. And it has happened. It's happened multiple times.
I had this game up as well as the Royals game. It was on FS1.
Yeah.
And there was a ball that was hit, and the guy, clearly, he reached his hand over
the
wall.
It would have been a game-tying home run by the Giants. And the team said,
he interfered with his own team, which is weird.
You've done this multiple times, man. Like, multiple times.
If this leads anything near getting Hample out of a baseball park, I'm interested. Lastly, on What's Trending, we said it at the beginning of the show, but as a quick reminder, look, I got to be honest. I got to be mysterious and careful with what I say here. But Alex and I have been working on something. That thing, I will not tell you what it is yet, but we will tell you about that something coming up on Monday at 10 a.m. We don't have a show tomorrow and Friday because of the holiday weekend. So we want to let you know now that we have been working on something. It will involve fans, and we will tell you about it on Monday.
That's right. That's all we can say.
Is that all I can say?
That is really all we can say.
Is that legally all I can say?
I think that's all we can see. We've been sworn to secrecy. We will
maybe
announce
like a
this
code word or something or you password.
And I,
or
you
something?
And I have promised not to share this information as well with each other.
I mean, you and I have said,
"Hey, Cody, don't tell your friends. I'm not telling my friends." We have sworn this.
I told my wife.
Yeah. Anyway, we're working on this. It's something we're very excited about. I think you guys are going to really think is cool and fun as well. But we can't announce it till Monday, 10 a.m. right here on 96.5.
Are you sure you're going to be good to hold off until then, Cody? Because it sounds like
the only problem is, don't you dare.
Problem is, you know this works. Sitting around the pool on Friday.
Don't do it. Don't do it.
Having a couple of drinks. People are like, hey, how's work? What's new? That's when you have to avoid the temptation, you know?
Yeah.
But to this point, the only person I have told is my wife. Because I'm just, honest to God, I signed an NDA when we were switching to 96.5 The Fan, and they told me not to tell my wife, and I told my wife. That's one person I'll tell. Come on. You didn't tell your wife, Drew?
I know. I'm not saying I didn't because I did.
He's not good. Okay. I was like, come on.
Yeah. So we're excited about it. I think it's pretty cool. And I think you guys are going to think it's cool as well. And so Monday, be listening to 96.5 The Fan at 10 a.m.
Someone says it's obvious Cody's bad at keeping secrets.
Yeah. They're saying you're dying to spill the beans.
I would like to tell everyone about
it. Can't do it, man.
I would be interested in it. I'm happy to tell you about it on Monday.
Coming up in about 20 minutes, we'll be joined by our Royals insider, Josh Vernier. We'll talk more about what happened last night for the Royals and also, of course, what the next couple of weeks could look like for them. Don't forget, lunch hour, right? I'm actually starving right now. I didn't stop and get any breakfast or anything this morning, so this sounds amazing, and that is, of course, Wings at Jefferson's. They got a brand new happy hour as well. They're our lunch partner on Wednesdays. Happy hour is going to save you some money. 7 days a week, enjoy half off appetizers, half off your bar tab at Jefferson's, whether it's Lenexa or the North KC location. Not to mention Monday, well, that's all day happy hour. They have the same great deals during a reverse happy hour, 7 days a week. So whether you want to watch some sporting events, just hang out with some family friends, Jefferson's, wings, burgers, oysters.
Great spot, obviously. And again, if you're looking for, you know, this works. You're always looking for food poolside. Maybe you don't want to do the cooking this year. Check out Jefferson's. Maybe they can just take care of that for you. Obviously, we've got a great relationship with them over there. We talked to a little bit about it with Nate Taylor, and I kind of want to bring it back up again because the text line pointed out something about the Chris Jones thing that we think is interesting. We had found the Chris Jones cap number next year is high, okay? Like, to put it mildly, it is quite high. It's in the $40 million range overall. So it starts looking like that's a big cap hit. It is the second highest out of any non-position or non-quarterback position player, only to Tyreek Hill, and it is top 10 highest of any cap number of any player in the league next year at $44.85, so almost $45 million for Chris Jones. I don't disagree with Nate, and this is where the problem is going to be on that number. I still think he's a dominant player. I don't think the sacks told the entire story of what Chris Jones' year was last year, because I do think he was double-teamed a lot, helped George Karloff in the numbers. But in the end, the name of the game is sacks when you're paying elite-level pass rushers, and I don't think you can have 5 sacks and 6 sacks and just be like, but I swear he's good at the other stuff.
So I hear you. I would say, though, I don't. The way the contract is set up, I mean, they're not cutting him, okay? And I think it's $19 million in dead cap if they do that at the end of next season. Like they're obviously not cutting him after the season. If you tell me he has 9.5 sacks and they're like, oh, he didn't get to double-digit sacks, not worth the money, I don't think that is a scenario that's realistic for anybody involved. I think what Nate Taylor mentioned about the roster bonus and, hey, they can convert that, and that's their way of maybe knocking down that cap hit a little bit to ease what that number is. But I think he's going to get back to double-digit sacks this year. I think you kind of do as well. But anybody that watched him last year knows that the amount of attention that he brought opened things up for everybody else. And I think he was also, once again, those scenarios where, like, man, you're very close to getting a sack kind of thing. Yeah, the numbers have to be there, but we know what he's capable of. I think he has another year left where I feel like I'm getting elite, all-pro level Chris Jones. Like, he's got another year, maybe two left of
so
that
you,
level
so
of play.
So you pay the little higher
the next
this
two years,
year.
And then you worry about it in 3 years.
Look, 3 years is not nothing. That contract, you can just get out of it if you want to get out of it. You save $30 million, almost. I think it's $29 million, $28 million or whatever, by moving on for that part. So, like, you absolutely can and have more than enough flexibility to just you know, move on in that year if you need to. And I don't think they ever gave Chris Jones, I'm sure we said it when they signed it, I don't think they ever gave Chris Jones a five-year deal thinking, I'm sure he'll just play out every year of that contract at that exact number across the board. No, I do not think that's the case.
It's just tricky because the number's really high. Not only his number, which, you know, they knew this and nobody expected the final year of Chris Jones's deal for him to play on it when he's, 34 or whatever years old. But, yeah, the Trey Smith deal needs to get done here in the next 2 weeks, and I think it will. Okay, and then that, if it's a five-year deal especially, they got flexibility there. Then you're looking at Trent McDuffie. What's that deal look like? Is that a four-year deal or a three-year deal? You get that deal done before Sauce Gardner. Next offseason, you know Mahomes will be flexible with you, but you're gonna have to redo his deal or something.
Yeah, he's gonna get paid $80 million a year, whatever the hell the quarterbacks are making by then.
But if it's another long, you know, extended deal, you can lower his cap hit. So they can maneuver around this number. It was just jarring when you and I yesterday were looking at TJ Watt and we said, let's look at Chris Jones contract, and we saw, and I guess we forgot that the cap number was that high. Not this year, but in 2026 for Chris Jones.
That's part of it. It's like, I just didn't realize it ballooned to that number. And because they've got, and look, here's the thing. They hypothetically won't have a high number for Travis Kelce on their contract anymore. They, you know, like some of the expensive, and like, even if they give Trent McDuffie or give George Karloftis or these other guys, those numbers in year one aren't going to be high or hurt. As Nate pointed out, the way this contract was structured, the next year was always the big number year. And probably because they wanted to give themselves an out. If it went bad, you could technically pay the $20 million and get 2 years out of the contract and just say, well, you know what? We'll wash our hands of it. And it's not gone that way at all. A lot of this comes down to where you are as a team as well. If this is another year where they either lose in overtime of the AFC title game, lose in the Super Bowl, or win the Super Bowl, the only three results they've gotten in the last 7 years, I don't think they're going to be real fast gold to move off of their all-pro interior defensive lineman. Because the window will still be open and they'll find a way to pay him.
He's one of the core pieces. We talk about this entire absolutely. Mahomes, Kelce, and Chris Jones. If you put up the image, those are the three faces you see. They're about to enter a time in about a year or two where Kelsey's no longer part of that image and it's Trent McDuffie. And maybe in 3 years it's not Chris Jones, but it's maybe someone not even on the roster right now. I don't know, right?
Sure.
Depending on how things progress. Maybe it's, you know, usually you wouldn't have a left tackle, but hopefully it's Josh Simmons. You know what I mean? Like, that's where they're at. But right now, of course, it's
player, because that would suggest he's very good.
You know, it's in terms of the marketing materials, if you will, for your franchise. You know, posters for years have had Jones, Kelce, and Mahomes. There's a chance in a couple of years it's Mahomes, you know, Trent McDuffie, and player maybe to be named.
Yeah. Little news out of the NBA. Shams is reporting the Knicks have finally found their coach, Gold.
Oh, about time.
Expected to land on two-time NBA Coach of the Year, Mike Brown, okay, as the franchise's next head coach, according to him. And sources tell ESPN. That is decidedly, in my opinion, not better than Tibbs. I think it's worse.
This would have kept. I mean, Mike Brown's
fine.
It's
absolutely worse.
Mike
they Brown's thought they were going to be able to steal somebody else's coach.
Clearly.
And couldn't do that. And then they hired their coach so late as a result
there
of this.
There were reports
this is so
that they reached out to Don, that they talked to Dawn Staley over at South Carolina.
They talked to a lot of people, and they got shut down by a lot of people.
Dawn Staley also got paid.
For sure. And if you're her, why would you even leave the situation you have at this point? I mean, you're in such a good spot. I mean, my goodness. I think the Knicks should have just retained the prior coaching staff.
Okay. Agreed.
I don't think Mike Brown's like a disastrous hire, but it's just you didn't really need to make this move if this is who you were going to hire. For those that don't know, he last what was with the Sacramento Kings, led them to playoffs in 2003 or 2023, I'm sorry. And then, of course, won a couple titles there, including Coach of the Year in 2009 with Cleveland. So you could have done worse, yes, but you had either the equivalent or better already on staff before.
Man, there is no league like repeating head coaches
like
the NBA.
Man.
Boy, the NBA loves a retread.
It's better than it used
they
to
can't,
be, but it's
they
still
can't,
there.
Whoo, they can't help themselves. They love a retread versus like the, you know, like they don't look at like the Heat, who did not hire a retread and have now been with Spoelstra for like 20 years.
Yeah, he's great though. He's one of the best coaches in the league. He's
I
been
know,
awesome.
But that's part of the reason like
they
don't always go retread. Find
LeBron,
the new guy.
Since the COVID year, they haven't been in contention at all since the bubble.
Yeah, but everybody knows how good a coach he is. Like the NBA, you can only win so much depending on your circumstances.
He's Mike Tomlin in the NBA. He is Mike Tomlin.
Maybe, but I don't know. In the NBA, I blame him less because unless you win the draft lottery and just get Wimby or one of those big time stars come over to you, that's kind of
I know,
tough.
But he's dealing with less talent than other rosters and he's still overachieving.
Yeah. That I agree with.
I think that's where the Mike Tomlin comp comes in. Plus, he's got the titles, but his teams just aren't that good. They've been 8 seeds the last 3 years.
It's funny how, like,
four
now...
Years, or missed it.
This is just, it was, as you said it, and I don't disagree. I think we all know what you meant by it. It's funny now how somehow saying, oh, he's Mike Tomlin is viewed as a terror. Like, now it's like, oh, he's Mike Tomlin.
I didn't mean it as an insult
I know what you mean, but
he's the comp.
But that's where we're at now with Mike Tomlin in the NFL, where it does feel almost negative because we're like, oh, you're just stuck in the middle. That's Mike Tomlin for you. Like, it's weird how that's become almost a negative thing to say. Because six years ago, if you said, oh, he's Mike Tomlin, you'd be like, wow, yeah, he's one of the top 10 coaches in the league. And Eric Spoelstra, by the way, is a top five coach in the NBA. I don't care. I don't care if they haven't won a title since 2013. You know, the last 2 years they've lost in the first round, but they were in the finals 3 years ago.
And in the finals 3 years before that. I mean, they've been in the finals 2 times in the last 6 seasons.
They've made the finals 4 times since he last won one. Okay. That's still pretty darn good in a 10-year span. 4 finals trips in the last 10 years, or 11 now, I guess.
And again, they were doing that with at no point a top 5 player in the league, right? They at no point had like one of the 5 biggest names. Butler maybe fringed during a stretch of that, but I don't think he was 5.
No.
So that's all. Just the Knicks blew it.
Mike Brown, the next head coach of the New York Knicks. I also think in New York, it's wrong way to approach him because of that media market stuff. I don't think they were ever going to hire a first time head coach with the New York Knicks. He would get eaten alive. I don't think they were going to hire.
I think you're both right in the fact that especially contending teams do not hire new coaches. It's always like the Hornets or the Bulls, and the Bulls have Billy Donovan, I think, still.
For a while, it was like 10 straight years of every contender hiring George Karl or whatever, and now it's just
all
be,
the teams
know.
That are not great hire the young and upcoming coaches.
4th of July weekend, everybody has their own traditions, things they like to do. We know Jay Binkley is going to be locked in on 4th of July for the Nathan's Hot Dog Eating Contest. Joey Chestnut is back. I was looking up the over-unders. Well, are you guys going to watch this? You going to watch the men's competition?
Can't. No.
It's fine that they want to do it. It makes me feel ill
watching it.
To watch them
really
eat, it's so gross. It grosses me out so bad.
Look, I don't.
They're dunking those hot dogs in the water, and everyone's just like
sweaty
and hot, and just like
it's over quick though. It's over very quick. It's over very quick.
10 minutes feels like a lifetime when I'm watching that.
the over under. By the way, that whole sentence and phrase, that could have been used so out of context everything you just said there. But anyway, the over-under for Joey Chestnut in this year's hot dog eating contest, 71.5. He once had 76. You're taking the over-under on this, even if you're not watching. Do you think he did not participate last year? 71? Is he getting 72 dogs?
No, I'd say under.
He's rusty, man.
He's a year older.
Year older?
The stomach doesn't react the same.
What did he eat on Netflix last year?
I don't. That's a good question.
That might determine my answer. I need
Bink's
to know.
Going to text us in about 2 seconds.
Wait, you think he already knows?
He had 83 last year.
83 on Netflix?
Yeah, in 10 minutes.
Whew, well, I got to take the over, don't I? I mean, man, 83.
If he just had 83 last year.
Just a year ago, even in a downslide, 72 doesn't seem like that big of a stretch. I guess I'll take the over. I will take the over. It's crazy to me to spend an entire lifetime just like choosing to competitively, you were before the show listing off the things that he holds like world records for.
Yeah, have you seen some of
these? And it's just like, it just makes my stomach hurt, Drew. Like just thinking about
Twinkies, 121 Twinkies in 6 minutes. That's a world record.
121
Twinkies. Yep.
How many do you think you could eat? Well,
I'm not a big fan of Twinkies.
Yeah,
honestly,
but just how many? Like 20? Like if you had to.
Not even 20. I just don't like them. So that's part of the problem.
Okay.
Let me find something that everybody, tacos. Okay. This one, 53 soft beef tacos from Taco Bell.
Dang.
In 10 minutes. How many? Now, those things you can put down pretty
quick.
Yeah. Are we, like 25?
No. In 10 minutes?
15?
10? One a minute?
I mean, you're
1 a minute?
You're scarfing.
I mean, I'm not a professional eater, man.
Yeah.
1 a minute feels like I'm trying. 10 minutes feels like a lifetime when I'm watching that.
Yeah, and then he said he was sweaty and hot and gross, and it was. Anyway,
said they are.
Yeah. here's a couple other ones that he has records in. Gumbo, 15 bowls, which is 1.87 gallons, I guess, in 8 minutes. 15 bowls of gumbo in eight minutes.
I think what might be, and I like gumbo, but I think what maybe is making me feel sick about the amount of gumbo is when you said it that way, 1.8 gallons, I envisioned it like in the like milk jug and someone just drinking it with the lid off out of there. And that bumps us off. That's like the worst way to consume gumbo.
I'm with you, Cody. I don't watch it because it's to me it's not that entertaining, and also it's also just gross when you think of it. It's
the
just
one
nasty.
That's interesting to me on the list though is ramen noodles. He had 10, you know, those like was it Nissin or whatever cups, you know,
yeah,
the
sure.
cup ramen. We all know what that. 10 cups of those in a minute and 50 seconds. So
no
he just
throw
those back like shots, and those have to be
no literally like shots.
Shots of ramen, and there's no way they're hot because you would burn the heck out of your mouth. They're just like room temperature or cold, right?
Probably.
Just throw back cups of ramen, noodles, broth, everything. Just, I guess you just open the hatch, you know?
10 cups though?
10 is insane.
I'm not even that fast at chugging a beer, let alone chugging ramen.
Could you even have 10 cups in 30 minutes of ramen?
Mate, ramen is like the least filling thing on the planet. Like just the ramen and the broth.
It's a lot of liquid though after a while, man.
You would get through like 6 or 7 and probably really be like feeling it in your stomach.
Yeah.
I don't think I can. I feel like you get an instant kidney stone. You know what I mean? Like instantly your body would form a kidney stone after just 10 cups of ramen.
It's a lot of salt. Yeah. That is to Drew's point, that is a lot of salt.
So anyway, Friday, I'm sorry. 4th of July. I think it's usually, what, like 11 o'clock or
what are you
going
to do on actual 4th of July this year?
Yeah, so trying to figure it out. I might be doing some family stuff. I haven't fully committed that. They're asking if I'm going over because in-laws and or brother-in-law and stuff are doing some grilling and things like that. I'll probably end up doing that. There was an outside chance I was going to hang out with a buddy or two at their property, but I think I'm probably just going to do some family stuff with the nephews and just grill out, I'm assuming.
Sparklers.
I don't know if we've, like, in terms of
that's
fireworks.
That's like low stakes.
Yeah, I don't know if they'll do fireworks in their neighborhood. I don't think they'll do fireworks. I think it's a no-go.
Not even
like
a sparkler?
Entirely
a
no
snake?
Go. That neighborhood.
I'm not saying like a Roman candle, you know, I'm like keeping it pretty low.
I think in their area, I think it's a no-go in terms of that, but more just grilling, hanging out. Definitely, they will not have the Nathan's Hot Dog Eating Contest on. I can promise you that.
My question is how long I can hang. So, like, we'll be up at Lake Waccomas, I believe, with some friends.
Nice.
Like a pool and then obviously a small in-city lake where we can get on the boat and, like, get in the water a little bit.
Pool tomorrow for sure.
Should be fun. We'll do that on Friday for sure. And I think I was asked to be on somebody's Frisbee golf team. I haven't played Frisbee golf in a really long time.
Wow. On
Saturday, so I guess maybe I should practice for that.
Uh-huh.
I'm in a duo because they do like lake events up there. But the question for me on the 4th of July is always, how long do I hang knowing that my dog hates fireworks? So we could spend like 10 hours there and watch fireworks on the lake and do the whole thing. I usually end up bailing long before that. I can't.
Have you tried the medicine? She's got pills.
I was going to say,
she's got pills for that.
It's weird because
I don't want her to be at home on the pills with no one around.
Yeah, of course.
And obviously every dog's different with it too. Like for whatever reason, my dog doesn't get spooked by thunderstorms or fireworks. She's, I guess, lucky in that regard. But yeah, that's a big thing for dogs, obviously. Also, this time of the year, I think it's always something people should be cognizant of too. There's always, you know, you see these stories every year of vets that, you know, it triggers them, right, when they hear fireworks, right, and it causes post-traumatic stress and things like that. People forget that when it's 11 o'clock at night at 4th of July and you're still lighting off a bunch of fireworks in your neighborhood or whatever, so keep that in perspective. But no, we used to go out south. We had some family that lived like an hour south where out there you could shoot off whatever, and so that's when I was much younger.
We do that, like the mortars and all that stuff. My like of just fireworks themselves have gone down the older I've gotten as a result of turning into the I'm not saying you can't have fun, but I would like us to limit all firework usage to the 3rd, 4th, and 5th. I don't need to hear them June 21st.
You'll hear
I don't
them
need to
You'll
hear
them. Tonight,
there have been some going on.
I don't. Oh, dude, for days, weeks, and I don't need to hear them July 27th.
Agreed. Mm-hmm.
Can we get our fireworks, fire them off, happy, happy, good time, and then shut it down? That's all. Can we eventually just shut it down? That's all I'm asking.
Drew, are you going anywhere? You going to go to like the city display or anything like that?
We talked about it. Not quite sure yet.
Okay. There you go. Looks like the weather's going to be good. I don't think we're going to run into any of that.
Great.
Last check.
I'm looking forward to being by a body of water.
Yeah. Oh, yeah, yeah.
Drinking your hand.
I went to the lake last week, and otherwise lake would have been the move this weekend. But I'm going to probably just pool. Pool for at least part of the days, that's for sure. All right, guys. Up next, let's talk some Royals baseball with our Royals insider, Josh Vernier. We'll ask him how he would now approach the next couple weeks if things have changed for him based off of where the team sits in the standings. And we'll also get a random question of the day right here on 96.5 The Fan. We'll get to the random question of the day here in about 10 minutes or so. Thanks for hanging out with us on a Wednesday before the holiday weekend. I know a lot of you may be already checking out. We can notice it by the traffic out on the streets and stuff as well outside our window. But we appreciate you guys listening to the show. You can watch it, don't forget, as well on Twitch, YouTube, Twitter, X, whatever we're calling it these days, Facebook. Make sure you subscribe so you do not miss any of the shows here on 96.5 The Fan. That way you don't miss any of our conversations with our Royals insider Josh Vernier, of course, is on deck show coming up tonight, 7:30, as the Royals continue their series in Seattle, taking on the Mariners. Vern, we had JJ Piccolo on the show yesterday, and we asked him, you know, hey, has anything that's happened in the last week or so shifted their belief in where they're at? And I know no general manager is going to come on the radio and say, yeah, we're out of it, we're declaring ourselves as sellers. I understand that's not how it works, but unless the Royals win these next two against the Mariners and it puts them back within 2.5 games of a wild card spot, do you think by really this time next week, it should be pretty obvious that they really need to be having deep conversations about moving on from a couple players?
Sure. But you know, if we're in agreement that those players are Seth Lugo, if someone's interested in Michael Lorenzen, if sure. someone's interested in Mark Canha, if you're talking about Bubich or Mikel or Vinny, if you're talking about someone that's a part of the 2026 plans right now, I don't know if we can get there by this time next week.
What about like in the bullpen? Is that like you just mentioned all those players like the Steven Cruz, Estevez part of the category where they do have control, Vern, so they definitely could be a part of 2026. But as you know, with relievers, you got to have a little more flexibility.
Yeah. Estevez, certainly, although the only reason you're parting with Carlos Estevez is to save yourself $10 million next year. I'm not John Sherman. I don't really care about his $10 million. I'd like to keep a good player, but no. If a good offer comes along for Carlos Estevez, take it. Angel Zerpa's coming up on arbitration, as is Daniel Lynch. John Schreiber's going to get a pay increase. He's already making $2.3 million this season, so any of those three would be financially a sound decision to move on from them at the deadline. Boy, Steven Cruz, we all understand the fickle nature of relievers, and just because the dude's a stud right now doesn't mean he's going to be any good next year. So listen, if your doors are blown off by an offer where you're like, man, this guy's been good for 2 months, we can't say no to that. We have to move. You get a deal like that, sure, I'd pull the trigger on Steven Cruz. But boy, did that stuff look nasty last night.
God,
anybody
so
in the bullpen, he might be the one I'd be least ready to move on from. And that includes Lucas Urseg.
That strikeout pitch specifically to Raleigh, I was just like, okay, that works.
Here's a cool 101. Yeah.
I mean, we were saying yesterday, other than Bobby Witt Jr., truly, like, there's nobody that you're not at least listening to. You're not hanging up the phone on anybody unless they say we want Bobby Witt Jr. You agree?
Cags.
Okay.
That's a non-starter for me. But other than those two, yeah, I'm with you.
What do you think about?
I'll listen to anybody.
Jack Caglione, I don't want to just get stuck in the, like, forever optimist train on any particular player. But, like, I watched Jack Caglione at least, like, last night. I'm like, that guy's not lost at the plate at the moment.
Right.
I certainly thought there's other moments. JJ had said some of the batting peripherals still play out. I'm kind of treating this a little bit like the beginning of the season, which means he gets another 30 games before I start saying, oopsie, it's just bad luck, and instead he's got to, you know, adjust where the ball's getting hit. Where do you kind of stand on what you've seen out of Jack?
Yeah, I'm impressed by him, honestly, because of how much tough luck, how much failure, not only personally, but inside that clubhouse. I mean, the big league turmoil that him and John Rave have dealt with to get their feet wet in the big leagues with, you know, real expectations. I know Vinny and Bobby and all these guys lost 106 games, so they went through the ringer a few years ago, but that was kind of accepted by everyone in the organization. What's happening right now is not being accepted by anyone. I mean, they're getting booed at home, deservedly so, when you have a month like June like that. So the fact that CAG still, at least in my eyes, like you're saying, man, it's still quality body language. It's still confidence coming to the dish. Running the bases well, playing outstanding defense in right field. Now, I'm very encouraged by Jack Caglione, especially with what some of those other 2024 draft picks have done as the season progresses. Most, if not all, struggled for their first month and took off afterward. And, you know, the numbers, or at least the eye test, because sometimes the numbers can lie, even those expected numbers, the eye test tells me that he's going to be that weapon we expected him to be sooner rather than later. Maybe it's post-All-Star break. Maybe that 4 or 5 days off, a nice little mental reset helps. But I expect Cags, and I think the organization does as well, expects Cags to be a part of the solution post-All-Star break.
We're talking to Josh Vernier, Royals insider. His on-deck show is tonight at 7:30 as the Royals continue their series against the Mariners right here on 96.5 The Fan. Somebody that I know nobody is worried about is Bobby Wood Jr. I feel like the conversation around him has been interesting. Maybe it's just it adds into the frustration overall what the team has done. But the guy's hitting .286, leads the league in doubles and all this, and yet I feel like people are acting like he's having a bad season. He's just not having the MVP season.
Yeah, and you know what? When you get that contract in this market, when you are the face of the, not just the franchise, but one of the faces of Major League Baseball, right? The league today announces a new marketing campaign, and Bobby's one of the faces. He's the face of their Play Ball campaign. When you're that guy, you're expected to deliver year in and year out. You know, last year, Bobby was one of the five best offensive players in the sport. It was him, it was Judge, Otani, Soto, and Gunnar Henderson. This season, Otani's back there, top five. Aaron Judge is back there, top five. Juan Soto's back there. Last time I checked, he was sixth, but still there. Gunnar Henderson and Bobby Witt Jr. have both fallen out of the top 30. Still terrific players, right? I mean, and I'm just talking about offense.
Sure,
just talking about their offensive numbers. Bobby is as well-rounded a ball player as there is in the sport, still one of the 10 best, certainly in 2025. But as far as the offense is concerned, when you go from second best in Major League Baseball with runners in scoring position like Bobby was last year to now you're barely top 40, again, we're not no one's asking for Bobby to go anywhere. But when you are that player, you're expected to be a superstar year in and year out. We haven't had a guy like that, like this in Kansas City since George Brett, where every year, man, I'm expecting you to be elite. He hasn't been elite. Vinny hasn't been elite, right? Top 20 when it comes to those clutch situations last year, bottom 20 this year. Last year, Salvi, top 15. This year, he's 115th when it comes to hitting with runners in scoring position. Jonathan India's numbers down across the board. The four guys that we all knew would be the top four hitters in this lineup since last December, all four of them have disappointed to differing extents, but all four have disappointed. Now, last night, those four batters outplayed Seattle. They drove in as many runs as the entire Mariners lineup. They had as many base hits as the entire Mariners lineup. And they scored more runs than the entire Mariners lineup. The reason why, as you guys know and everybody knows, the reason why this team has been the worst in baseball is because, yeah, the complementary pieces, save Michael Garcia, have disappointed. But the stars have also disappointed. Bring that all together and you have one of the most, if not the most disappointing team in Major League Baseball. That was the conversation two nights ago on MLB Network, on their national pregame show. It's, are the Kansas City Royals the most disappointing team in baseball? It was a debate between the Royals, Orioles, and Braves, and that's a terrible place to be.
Vern, when you look at what you mentioned some of the little things. I know we've talked about like where blame deserves to be placed, depending, right? Players, we always think is number one, and then the, you know, upper management versus the actual team manager. Where do you place the blame on the two things that I think are inexcusably been a bigger problem this year, which are base running and defense? Like, I don't feel like those should be a nightly problem. And during this most recent losing streaks over the last couple of weeks, those are the things that I get even almost more frustrated at than a lack of hitting, because it feels like those are more controllable than your inability to get a guy home in some ways.
Yeah, well, obviously you have to give the players a lot of blame, but you know, I think to that, Cody, I'd say 60-40 front office ownership. Because Jonathan India being a bad defender and a...
It's not new information, yeah.
Yeah, we've been talking about that. You know, Now, MJ Melendez, Michael Massey, the amount of faith or the amount of importance that was placed on those two rather unproven bats. Now, we could point at them and say you didn't take advantage of your opportunity, but we could also say, boy, you put Vinny, Bobby, and Salvi in a tough spot when you're saying your 5 and 6 hitters are going to be Michael Massey and MJ Melendez. And is that solely a JJ Piccolo thing? Is that more of an ownership thing where, hey, I need more money if you want me to go get that middle of the lineup bat? I tried to get Santander. I tried to get Profar, but we fell short. Now, still spent that money in a pretty good place when it comes to Carlos Estevez, but this team was more than just Estevez and India and Waka away. They needed India, Estevez, Waka, and another bat. And apparently that's those resources weren't there. So, you know, the deeper we get into the season, I think some of the shift begins, and we talked about this, some of the blame begins to shift towards the front office, the team building, the decision making this past off season, and who they went all in on when it comes to free agency. So now, solely base running and defense, yeah, I'll say 60-40 front office and ownership. When it comes to the team as a whole, I'll say right now it's an even 50-50 split.
Josh Fernier, our Royals insider, late West Coast games man. We appreciate you coming on with us, and have a good fourth.
All right, you too. Thank you.
There you go. Josh Fernier's On Deck show tonight, hour before first pitch, 7:30. First pitch at 8:40 tonight there in Seattle. One of my favorite ballparks to go to, by the way. When it's nice there, they have the roof open. It was Safeco. It's now T-Mobile or whatever, but it's beautiful, man. I love that park.
Have you been
up there?
No.
Yeah, it's one of my...
I haven't been to that, like...
San Diego and Pittsburgh are the next two I want to go to. I've never been to Fenway, but that's just a different experience. In terms of, like, scenery and just, like, the sight lines, I want to go to either a Padres game or a Pirates game. Seattle should be on your list, man, as far as a baseball game.
Well, probably just a city to visit as well. I'd be interested. I thought you were going to ask him about the P. Diddy trial.
You know, every guest today I should be like, do you want to talk about? No. Okay. We ran out of time. I just do that for everybody today if I wanted to. But
Drew tried to vet to see if Carrington wanted to talk about his support of P. Diddy and the fact that he's a big fan of his.
Yeah.
It's
weird.
Disappointed that he was convicted of anything.
Yeah, it sounds like that's not going to happen.
Not going to happen. And then Drew basically took his spot and was also, he's been like, other than when we talk about Joe Burrow,
you guys got to relax.
Drew hasn't been in the best of the moods because he thought he should have been acquitted on everything too.
You got to relax.
It's really bizarre.
You got to relax with these claims because that is not true. The Joe Burrow stuff, I believe every word that I say about Joe Burrow, but this, no, I am against this.
Okay. Okay. If you say so.
I'm not against the what happened, but let me. I'm against Gold saying what he said.
Got it.
Anyways, woo!
Random question.
I make sure I followed up with that. You know,
good follow up for you, Gold. For you, Drew, of course, the random question of the day is brought to you by Kansas City Urology Care at KCUC. Remember, you see the best in KC. Visit kcurologycare.com today. Twitch, Twitter, YouTube, Facebook. We live stream the show as well if you'd like to interact with that. Question again, as you can imagine, is back to the holidays. We're only a couple of days away from the 4th of July. I told you on Friday I'm going to spend some time with some friends. He had already sent out a group text that said, here's what will be on the menu. You are not obligated to bring any food. If you'd like to bring a side, you are welcome. Whatever, you know, bring drinks, the normal stuff.
Yep.
And I thought, well, I should try to make like a dessert.
Of course you're going to make something.
Well,
of course.
Nice thing to do to bring something.
Oh, to bring something. But for you, I just know it. It's always like, what am I going to make?
Well,
just bring something.
I don't mind bringing a bag of chips or whatever, too.
Yeah, you know.
But if I were to make, well, they're doing a nice thing, you know?
You should bring something.
He's making, I believe he's making tacos.
Okay, very good.
On the Blackstone. And I believe he's going to make like... you know, with pineapple and the whole thing.
Okay.
Right?
You should bring something. I'm just giving you a hard time because
I like to make something because it shows you cared more.
No. See, that's
better
the,
effort.
Just
you
because,
try.
Just because them, somebody but, makes a cake on there doesn't mean that some people aren't capable of doing that.
I think it shows an intention to be, because I can also just buy something from the store. I made the time. But then I got stuck in a situation. This is the question I have related to it. Do people... what dessert on the 4th of July? Because I'm just now realizing...
well, like pie or...
I'm just now realizing that... and if they do, what kind? Because I'm just now realizing that I've had very little dessert on the 4th of July as a person. It feels like people
just
like eat up some cubed up watermelon and call it a day. So the question I have is, Do you eat dessert on the 4th of July? And if so, what type of dessert are you interested in? Should I just pick up a box of Bomb Pops and stick them in the freezer?
I was going to say popsicles, but you're right. 4th of July is not as big of a dessert holiday. Now, you can get creative. You want to talk about getting creative. You can certainly do that for the holiday with the what that presents you. But like I don't know. Like, if we were to do something on Friday, I couldn't tell you what the dessert would be.
That's why
it might even just be 4th of July thing cookies or something, honestly. It might be something like that.
I don't want those garbage sugar cookies with their awful frosting.
Cody doesn't like sugar cookies.
The ones that hurt your teeth after you eat them?
I just think of all the cookies in the entire world, those white cookies with that crap frosting from like the grocery store.
The white cookies
aisle,
would be called sugar cookies.
They are terrible. It's the worst cookie on the planet. I'd rather eat an oatmeal raisin cookie. Okay. I mean, just the worst cookie. And then now you can buy them and they're like $17 a cookie if you want the fancy version of that same cookie. And they're equally as terrible somehow. And yet still I'm being forced on these
there's some local,
themed cookies.
Not necessarily the grocery store, but there's some local bakeries in town. You can get some custom made sugar cookies that are very good. And those are not from the store. Those are actually baked at a bakery or whatever.
Fair enough.
Fits Cody's standards, I think. Cody, a lot of people saying key lime pie.
Oh.
And our boss on our video social series.
I like making a key lime pie.
He said that key lime pie is the only good pie that's out there. But key lime pie, I disagree with the take. But key lime pie on 4th of July, I guess I could see that.
I used to go to a friend's house. They had a lake house up at Viking, I believe. And they do a golf tournament every year called the Key Lime Open. And you have to play one hole in their backyard with a frozen key lime. Like, you have to play with an actual key lime. So maybe key lime pie. Somebody says maybe a strawberry poke cake. Haven't made that before.
Okay.
Somebody said, the one thing I am worried about is a item that requires refrigeration. That was the other part about it, is that you want it to be available, right? And not like melt in the hot, hot sun, because it's going to be hot. So I can't figure it out. Someone says key lime is definitively a fourth dessert. So multiple people saying that. Banana pudding. Do you think that's a crowd pleaser, though? Let's be honest. If I brought a big thing of banana pudding.
You're overdoing it.
I mean, but also, like, you think that's overdoing it? Because I'll just be honest with you. You know, if I make key lime pie, I'm going to make the crust and all the other stuff. Or should I just buy a pre-made crust? I guess I just buy a pre-made crust.
Just buy the pre-made crust and you worry about the filling and stuff later. The idea that you got to make it all from scratch or whatever.
It's better. It's not that I have to. It's just better.
Let me ask you this, Cody. Are these friends you're going up to, are these like very close friends?
Very good friends. Our daughters are friends.
Okay.
Close friends. We see them a lot.
Okay. Well, then I think baking something is fun.
The people's house we go to are very kind to let us use their pool and the lake and all that other stuff.
Okay. If you're going to hang out with like some random people and you made something, I think I'm for making something in this occasion.
I was saying apple pie as well. Yeah. Apple pie.
Okay. Apple pie, cold jello.
How Cody feels about those cookies is how most of us feel about his songs. That's from the A16. Damn. Yeah.
Okay.
But no, you're right. In general, when I think 4th of July, I'm thinking you're grilling, right? You're smoking ribs or something. But like you're grilling burgers and brats and dogs
savory.
And stuff.
Yeah. That's why I was asking.
I think popsicles is a good. I mean, it's good. It's summertime. Any time
that just feels like something they might have anyway. You know, at the very least, anyone can buy a box
popsicles
of those 6,000 ices.
You know? You're going to be out. You got the pool and the lake, though. I think popsicles is great. Actually,
yeah, but nobody's taking the dessert out of the boat. That's a crazy thing to bring on a boat.
Which is why popsicles
are
perfect.
The cooler's just full of dessert.
We occasionally throw some snacks in a bag because our kids are consistently peckish, but like, because we might be out on the boat a few hours, but like, I'm not bringing key lime pie out on the boat. That's an eat back at the house situation. Yes. You're going to have to consume it there. So are these friends listening? I don't know. I doubt it.
This is brownies always on the spread. I'll say this. I don't care what time of year it is. Just a good, like, good chunky, like, chocolate brownie is so good.
Somebody's now saying that he's JAC. Brownie is good, but it feels like a not hot dessert.
I know. But, like, you can still, I don't know. Brownies is just, those brownies are incredible.
I'm going to send you guys a video and just you guys a video of me waving the American flag in the front of a boat playing JAC out of the speaker. What do you think? Just like this?
Oh, my.
You guys want that? You guys want that video?
I don't want it, but I do.
Kind of, too. Yeah.
Cody's going to make a music video up at the lake. Oh, yeah, with the flag and everything.
Oh, text line's more America than power hitting 6'5" outfielders, man. That's America.
Text line's correct, though, Cody. It's true. No key lime pie with the... If you're going to make homemade stuff, keep the green onions away. The last time you made this show homemade... something. There was green onion in the Reese's Peanut Butter Cup knockoff.
Over on Twitch, KS Duck says, that doesn't work unless I'm in a Speedo. The whole video.
Please don't send that.
That's too far.
Please don't send that. Don't send that.
I don't own a Speedo. I'm not purchasing one before Friday.
What would your wife say if you showed up to the lake or pool and everybody else is in, you know, quote unquote, normal swimming attire and you just had a Speedo on the boat? What would your wife say to you?
Or she'd just start laughing.
Would she say, here's a towel and here's a, and please cover up?
Okay, so we've been together a very long time. And I think because of that, I've reached a point now that she, even when I do embarrassing stuff, is not regularly embarrassed by me now. Mm-hmm. It's more of an expectation than I would say, like, an offense. You know, like anybody in any relationship, like, Drew's wife's not surprised he's watching round two of the NBA draft. He's established this as a part of a personality, so it's not like a stunning development. So my guess is that she would make fun of me, but that she would not tell me I have to...
Yeah.
You know, I have to put a towel on. I think she would allow it.
The same thing could be. If I happen to wear a Speedo, my wife would just laugh and make fun of me. That's what it would be.
Yeah.
She'd be in there with everybody else laughing at me.
This is good advice. Key lime pie is actually a pretty good suggestion for. I want to consider that.
Someone said strawberry blueberry fruitcake.
What?
For the 913, like a strawberry blueberry fruitcake thing.
I don't even know what that is. I mean,
I don't know. I'm not a big fan.
Of which part? Strawberries or blueberries?
No, I like strawberries.
Or them together in a fruitcake.
Yeah, not my favorite dessert.
Somebody's just saying, I think that's the red, white, and blue end, you know?
For sure. If you Google 4th of July desserts, that's like the first thing that comes up is like a red, white, and blue dessert.
It doesn't need to be red, white, and blue, I guess is my point. I just thought I would provide a food item that people would enjoy. For graciously having us over, you know?
Yeah. You're overthinking it. That's the point. We've now established that. Oh, just bring something, man. Just bring something and tell them thank you and enjoy the 4th of July holiday and move on.
Okay.
You know? Up next, we'll get to the 1 o'clock hour. A scenario that we both agree probably won't happen, but let's have a little fun in case this actually could happen for the Chiefs, plus what Roger Goodell is trying to maybe change in the near future.